Part three in this series called Drone as Seen from Above. I would encourage you, if you weren't here for part one or part two, it was really an eye-opening part one and part two. And because we talked about Zacchaeus, and we really saw some things about the perception of Zacchaeus that I don't ever remember seeing, hearing before. And you can go to all the different platforms that FWC is on. Now, you can go to FWC YouTube channel and watch past service, you know, the last past 2 weeks. You can go Roku, Apple TV, Facebook Live. I mean, there's just so many different platforms now to view. Or just go to Boxcast, you know, go to your app and download Boxcast and Family Worship Center Port Orange, bam. And then you can have services on demand. And one thing we started doing, I didn't even say this the first service, one thing we started doing was taking one of the, actually this is past Wednesday night, it was the first time. We took one of the morning services and we rebroadcasted it on Wednesday night. And just for individuals that maybe missed Sunday morning and weren't able to be online or be here, or for individuals that wanted to hear the message again, because how many times each one of us watch a TV show, the same TV show? How many of us have ever watched all seasons of The Office or Parks and Rec, right? And so over and over and over again, you're watching the same stuff. So why not do that with the Word of God? Just out of thought, you know? Why not, you know, get that Word of God over and over and over? So it's just a thought that we started doing. So, using the technology that God has given us to the best of its ability. Amen? But this series, Drone, is basically the whole thought pattern behind it. And if this is your first time, this is my drone. It's a little tiny drone, but Frank's drone is much bigger. It was a giant. I had it first time. The first part one is a giant monster drone. It looked like it came straight out of the Middle East, right? And it's just this big thing. And so, but the basic thought pattern about a drone is a drone gives you a perspective that you normally wouldn't have unless you had the drone. Now, this perspective, I argue that has been there the entire time, right? It's been there the entire time. We just never seen it from that perspective. I shared with you last week of my flight. I took this thing up, and I'm navigating for the first time. And as it's flying, Pastor Kathy walks out, you know, and I'm in the back, and I'm outside, and I'm trying to do this for the first time. I'm like, okay, trying to remember all the rules, all the things that Frank was telling me, and I'm doing this. And then she's like, hey, babe, I'm leaving. My mom and I are leaving. And I'm like, okay, see you. And I'm just like, yeah. And I gave her a quick kiss, and I'm trying not to crash this thing into anything. And so I literally got about 2 inches away from the neighbor's roof accidentally. And so it wasn't planned, but the whole thought pattern at one point, and I was able to video record the flight. And it was so cool because I got so high over the house that I actually saw my wife pull out and drive down the road. Now, that perspective, that view has always been there, no matter how many times she's left, no matter how many times she's pulled out or pulled in, but I've never seen it. I've never seen her pull out of the driveway and leave or pull in from that perspective. Now, that perspective's always been there. And that's the whole thought pattern about this, because what a drone does, it gives you an angle, it gives you a bigger picture of something that you normally might not have seen, and basically from a vantage point that you would not normally operate from. And so the thought pattern where it dovetails into the Word of God is basically, as children of God, we need to get a better perception about how things look from God's perspective. What things look like from God's vantage point, from God's perspective. Because so many times, we're creatures of habit, we're human, right? We look at things based upon the circumstance and situation that we're currently in. And we're looking at things from an incorrect perspective. But we need to be reminded of the perspective of God, what God says about the situation, what God says about the circumstance. That's what we need to be reminded about. And we have to remind ourselves about that. And basically, really honestly, understanding how God looks and thinks about when he sees you. It's true. Because if you constantly look in the mirror and you think you're, when you look in the mirror and you're talking to yourself, I see nothing but a giant screw up over and over and over again, because that's what the devil's telling you. That's what the enemy's telling you. That's all you will see. That's not the perspective of God, because the Bible says that you were created in his image and his likeness. God doesn't make a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make junk. So when you look in the mirror, that's his perception. That you were created in his image. No mistake. And so we need to get his entire perspective. And our perspective is often shaped and molded by other people's perspective of us. We listen to other people's opinion, which lots of times forms us. Maybe you see yourself or think of yourself the way you're, not because of past mistakes, because someone's been hammering you all your life. Maybe you had a mother or a father or a sibling, or maybe you were in a verbally abusive relationship where all you heard was that you're no good, you're nothing. Your perspective can be messed up from that. Perspective about yourself. But we need to remind ourselves of what God says about ourselves. What you need to remind yourself of what God says. His view of you as seen from above. Because here's the reason ultimately why. Simply because Jesus was asked, of all the commandments, all the Mosaic commandments, which one, Jesus, they're trying to trap him, which one is the most important? You know, wanting to trap him, wanting to discredit him, what are they going to do? They think he's going to say the wrong thing so they can put him on blast. Right? Put them all up on social media. Jesus said the wrong thing, blah, 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 blah. No. Jesus knew exactly what he's doing. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Two powerful thoughts. Love God, love people. And the challenge is with today, the reason why people don't love people, let's talk about it, people really tolerate people. Being honest, maybe you're a Christian, you're a child of God, and you tolerate people, right? I mean, I get that, and I have days like that. It's true, we're human. But why is that? Why love God, love people? It really goes back to, love your neighbor as yourself. Let's talk about that for a second. Loving your neighbor yourself, I would make the argument that people today have a hard time loving themselves because of their perception of themselves. No matter if somebody's told you something, something has been done to you, your past does not define your tomorrow. Your past does not define who you are. It really is just part of your testimony. That's really what it should be. Your past does not define you. So love God, love people. And so if we have a challenge with loving ourselves, we're going to be challenged with loving others. And so therefore, you can't give out what you don't have. And that's the vicious cycle that the enemy wants to keep Christians in. Keep you all jacked up about who you are in Christ, all jacked up about your identity, so that you don't love others. You're just making it. You're just doing what needs to be done and everything else because of how you perceive yourself. And that's why it's so important for us to see God's view of us, God's view of you. You can't love yourself. It's difficult to love others if you cannot love yourself. You cannot give out what you don't have. And we said this, and it's been a theme over the last few Sundays, that our horizontal relationships will never be what God intended them to be until our vertical relationship with God is in the right perspective. Let's chew on that for a second. Our horizontal relationships will never be what God intended them to be until our vertical relationship with him is in the right perspective. Looks can be deceiving. How many grew up with that statement, right? Your looks can be deceiving, Well, we're stepping away from the story of Zacchaeus, and we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. But allow me to set up the story. Here we are, the Israelites. We're promised the promised land. We're told about the promised land. Said that you're going to, God said to Moses, I am going to give you the promised land. And so they approach the promised land. And so just like any good leader would say, hey, let's go in and look to see what needs to be done. Let's look at the work, you know, because just because you're promised something doesn't mean that the promised something from God doesn't mean there's not going to be any work behind it. See, a lot of people just will give up on that right there. Well, oh my gosh, God said, please give me a promise. But guess what? Doesn't mean that there's not going to be work behind it. And so Moses said, you know what? He sent out 12 spies to go spy out the land, right? And he wanted them to come back with a report. Report what are we getting ready for? What are we going to be looking at? What are we going to be doing? What do we need to get ready, you know, prepare for? And so we pick up right here in verse 25. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. These are the 12. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness in Paran and in Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to the congregation and followed them with fruit of the land. Verse 27, and they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Basically, it flows with milk and honey. That was a biblical term to say, man, this place is amazing. This place is so set up for what we need. It'll sustain all of us. We will not just survive, but we will thrive in this land. It's so good. It flows with milk and honey, right? So, verse 28, however, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Ammonites dwell in the land of Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill of the country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea. Let me tell you, all these ites, you know, Canaanites, thisite, thatite, termites, they were all enemies of the Israelites. Every single one of them were enemies of the Israelites. And so they're saying, listen, it's not good. All our enemies are all over the place. And even though this is a land that flows with milk and honey, this isn't good. This is bad. Man, there's some strong people there. But Joshua in verse 30, quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up. He heard what they were saying. He heard the report that was being given by the 10. Because see, 10 said bad. It's good. This isn't a good situation. We're not going to get this. But Joshua and Caleb said, no. So what did he say? Caleb is quieted immediately, right? Verse 30, quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and occupy it. He was trying to tell them, let's do this now. Don't let doubt get in your head, right? Let's do this now. And for we are able to overcome it. And then verse 31, then the men who had gone up with him and said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report. There's that word again, report. They had a bad report. How many of you have ever received a bad report, right? So here we go. A bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, this land, though which we have gone to spy it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. Not the land, the people that are there, devours inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. They're so big, right? The Bible is talking about, they're describing that they're like grasshoppers. So they've allowed themselves to see something, to see and get themselves in a position where they say they are not able to attain God's promise. See, what they saw is not what God said. Understand that. What they saw, those 10, not the two, what they saw is not what God said. That's the power of perspective, right? There wasn't a single, think about this. Think about all the ites that were all around, right, that they were talking about. There wasn't a single conversation. The Bible doesn't talk about a single conversation that took place with any of the 12 spies. A single threat, a single fight, a single battle, right? Nothing, just what they saw. And 10 of them came back losing the perspective of what God told them. They were talking the enemy's lies for them. The enemies didn't have to threaten them. They accepted what they saw. What the enemies would have trash talked to, they would have said them. They were doing it. They were talking for them. What enemies in your life are you talking for? What enemies, what challenges, what things in your life, what promises in the Word of God that you know that you need to stand on, that you're talking for the enemy and he doesn't even say anything. And you're talking yourself out of God's promises. That's exactly what they did here. It's time that we stop going by what we see and start going by what God says. We understand looks can be deceiving, right? These 10 spies came back with a report, a bad report. We've gotten some bad reports in the year 2020, haven't we? I mean, they just go all day long. I even saw either two hurricanes going in the Gulf, and there's another asteroid that's supposed to be, you know, swinging by. I mean, it's like, it's just constant. You know, but two of those spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, brother. Listen, God told us, he promised us this land. Sure, it's going to be tough. Sure, it's going to be challenging, you know, but guess what? What did God say? God said that we were going to get it in the end. Right now in the year 2020, at the end of August, don't let what you see shape what God promises you. You and I live in a world right now that if we're not careful about what we hear, if we're not careful about what we see in our current culture, it will begin to manipulate us and distort us, and it will talk us out of what God said about us. If we're not intentional as believers of Christ to stay on what God said, you and I can be swerved in missing the promises of God just like the Israelites. How many times have you seen people miss the promise of God in your walk with God? In over 30 years of ministry, I have seen so many miss the promise of God. Too many to count. If we're not intentional as believers of Christ to stay on what God said, we can be swerved and miss the promises of God. Why? 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 I'm glad you asked. Why? Here's why. Because what informs us forms us. What informs us forms us. We can't go to the promised land, God promised us, but because of the giants and because all of our enemies all around, what they brought back and they were informed, it formed what they believed. Because the information shaped and distorted to where they begin to doubt God's word. My gosh, does that sound like the year 2020 right now? But we have to be careful. Be careful, woman of God. You gotta be careful, man of God. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch. Be careful of the influence that you allow in your life. Be careful of what you believe. Be careful of what informs you, because what informs you forms you. It's a simple truth, but it's so simple that we miss it. What about the Democratic Party? Ooh, be careful what informs you. Well, what about the Republican Party? Be careful what informs you. You know, what about COVID-19? Be careful what informs you. Oh, what about this racial tension? Be careful what informs you. Be careful. What informs you forms you. And we need to be formed, informed by the Word of God. Not by the world. Not by a hashtag. Not by other things that are going on in the world. What informs us forms us. And we need to be formed, informed by the Word of God, to be formed in the man of God God desires for you to be. We are looking too much like the world. So, because I truly believe, be very, very careful, these days are not like the days of old. And to someone like a teenager right now, days of old, like, oh yeah, days of old, you know, it's different for people like us, older, right? It's not like the days of old. Be careful. These days are not like yesterday. These days are very, very, very different. What you got to where you are today may not get you to where God wants you. God wants to bring you tomorrow. The report they received shaped Israel's decision. The information they got shaped where they went. The information they got shaped how they treated each other. I mean, seriously, read the rest of the story. It's like, wow. The thought of what informs us, forms us, will set you free. Because some of us need to be turning some stuff off in our life. Why don't the music ministry make your way up at this time? And as they're coming up, I want to set a challenge out to everybody within the sound of my voice, whether you're in this room, whether you're online with us talking. I want you to do a purge. Not like the movie. Some people got excited for a second. Because, you know, that movie, you get to kill people. But, again, love others. But I'm talking about a purge of who you follow on social media. A purge of who is allowing, you are allowing to influence you from the promises of God. And you don't even realize that they're being such an influence on you. Start to block them today. If all you get is negativity when you go to your feed, remove the negativity. Purge what you're listening. Purge what you're watching. Shut the doors to the things that are forming your character. The character that's different from the promises of God. How do I do that? Well, how I know if I need to do that? I would encourage you to do this. Over the next 2 days, go ahead and look and see how much news are you watching? You're watching different shows or stream services or really websites that you really shouldn't be on, right? Go ahead and log how many hours in a day, Monday and Tuesday, and log that, and then log to see how much time you're spending with God. That's where your problem be lying. That's where it lies right there. If you are getting more influenced by the world than you are by the presence of God, by the Word of God, there's a problem right there. You are totally being shaped and formed by the world, by the enemy. But really, you're getting fooled out of the promises of God. It's really what it boils down to. Stop being formed and shaped by the opinions of the world and man with their personal hidden agendas. Because see, God wants you to succeed. God wants you to excel. He never wants you to fail. It may be hard to hear, but it means you won't receive his promises if you are being formed, informed. incorrectly. And I'm going to say this, like I said, the first service, I'm going to say this as nicely as an Italian father can say. Don't complain about the things you allow. Don't complain about the things you allow. Don't complain that you're under attack by the enemy when you're letting him in the front door of your house. Don't complain about how God is going to move and do new things in your life, but you're not making room to get rid of the old and make room for the new things that he's going to do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Another translation says, don't give him a position of opportunity. And that's where we stand. Why? Because what informs us forms us.